a proselyte Jew when Peter came to him?
Yeah, I would say so, because he, he gave money to for their synagogue, right? Basically, right. Was very favorable towards the Jews.
And his prayers had come up before God. He was obviously
right.
In the
right.
Good of what he could be.
Right.
But he missed somehow Pentecost because the Spirit fell on him and his household. As Peter was talking, Peter didn't even get to give him the gospel.
Right. So well, you have to understand, in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost, it wasn't the message to the Gentiles there. It was a message to Israel, whether they were from the diaspora or they lived in the land.
I'm coming at it from the point of view of that character, Tav Schwartz, who has a pedigree longer than your arm, beginning with a PhD and is in Jerusalem at the university there. And he claimed that the gospel was the same from Paul all the way back to Abraham.
Well, you know enough now yourself to know that's not true.
Oh, yeah. I've been trying to figure out how to present it to him, but...
Why don't you start out with something like this? Ask him how Peter preached the cross in Acts chapter 3, and how Paul preached the cross in Acts 13, and see if it's the same way. See if it's the same message.
Acts 3 and Paul in what? Acts 13?
Yeah, Acts 13, 30. By Ken. Acts 13, 38 and 39. And kind of like Acts 3, 15 to 21.
Okay. I'll do that.
Yeah. Another thing is, like, if you actually want to compare the gospel in terms of salvation.
By Maureen.
Well, you know Acts 2:38, you know Romans 3:25, right?
I couldn't quote it from the address, but I'm...
No, but you could show those two passages. They're completely different as far as the requirement for the remission of sins.
What were they again?
Acts 2:38, Romans 3:25.
All right.
I'm Fatso. Good to see you.
Hi. Good to see you too.
How's everything down where you are?
It is okay.
Yeah. Anything new? Yes,
not really.
Not really. How's school going?
Onion and not tomorrow.
Yeah. That's why I brought that thing out in Luke 1. You can see the difference.
But yes, I still need a special session on that.
What was that promise?
I'm saying, but I still need a special session on this one.
More special than now?
What?
More special than now? Namely, Paul talks about as pertains to leaders in the church.
You mean like in 1 Timothy 5?
Right, and in Titus.
Yeah. You see, the thing about it is, you know, blameless is not something to be equivalent with sinless, all right?
Right.
It just means, like, for example, in 1 Timothy 5, your context is your best guide into seeing what that means. Let's say, let me go look at the actual verse.
Is my fan making noise?
Maybe a little bit, but it's all right. All right, say for example, in 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, he talks about a bishop being blameless, right?
Right.
But then he defines what he means, doesn't he? Blameless in the fact that he's a husband of one wife. he's vigilant, he's watchful, he's sober, you know, he's serious. He's of good behavior, he's hospitable, apt to teach. Okay, that's what he defines blameless to be, right? Yeah. As opposed to verse 3, which would not be blameless if you're given to wine, if you're being, a boisterous, a striker, if you're covetous, you know, money, you know, everything. In other words, the context defines what he means, right? He gives you the criteria of what he's saying there, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Pulling his practice and come out of this. Beautiful.
Yeah. Really nice to be able to see these things.
Is Chichewa approach to dispensationalism? So it's about understanding the Bible dispensationally. So they did the first one, book one. So this one is going to be book two. So the way that I'm given is on a slow pace. I can make it on a slow pace because it will be needed in December. But I think if I work well, I can finish it in.
Okay, about in Luke, where Zacharias was blameless. Are you saying that they were blameless on paper, but they didn't really have faith?
Yeah, they were blameless as far as the outward ordinances, but he was clearly someone that didn't believe the word of God, but didn't believe the thing about the, you know, the son that the angel told them about concerning his wife.
And the same thing applied to Paul.
Yeah, they didn't believe the word of God. It's basically, look, when Paul talked about the traditions of the fathers in like Galatians 1:14, he's not talking necessarily about the traditions, you know, about the scriptures.
Right.
Okay. Because if we go, for example, to Mark chapter 7, okay, the Lord clearly gives a negative concerning the tradition of the fathers and complete violation of the actual law itself. In Mark 7, verse, let's see. Look at verse 7, Mark chapter 7, verse 9.
Six is a long chapter.
Yeah, Mark 7:9.
And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your tradition.
Well, that sounds like the tradition is a violation of the word. They're in conflict, right?
Sure enough.
All right. So that's what we're talking about there. Now, Thomas, in answer to your question, I guess you said you wanted more elaboration about, what the law in terms of being outward ordinances or the moral law. Well,
yeah.
For example, if you were to compare Luke chapter 1, verse 5, with Romans 13, verses 9 and 10. Look at that. Luke 1:5 with Romans 13, verses 8 and 9, or verses 8 and 10.
Romans 13. Verse 9 to what?
Verses 8, 9, and 10.
Okay. Should I read that?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll start with Romans 13, verse 8 to 9.
8, 9, and 10.
Okay. Honor man
anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. Commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law.
Okay, so when the Lord demanded perfect love to God and perfect love to man, right? And that's spelled out by the Ten Commandments, right? Verse 9. That's the commandments of the law. What does it mean to love one another? Well, don't commit adultery, don't kill, don't murder, don't steal from your neighbor. Don't bear false witness against your neighbor, and don't cover what your neighbor had, right? So this is what the law, it's the moral law here, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, in Luke chapter 1, verse 5, when it says that they were, or verse 6, they were walking with all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blameless, it wouldn't be the moral law, right? Because these people had to submit to the baptism of John, for example, was confessing that you were a sinner, right?
Mm-hmm.
So obviously the law that he's talking about in verse Luke 1:6 would be the outward law, wouldn't it? The ceremonial law.
Okay.
Remember, this guy's a priest, all right? So
right.
He did everything in terms of his priestly duties, didn't he?
Okay.
That's what we're talking about here. Again, context defines the term.
Right.
Okay. So that's good. All right.